And welcome to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper. You know, I think it's funny. I'm gone for 2 weeks, and it seems that, you know, we're out, you know, myself and my family, taking some time off and went into Atlantic Canada, and everything in the AFL seems to have, I don't know what's going on. I mean, yes, we're coming down to the best time of the year, playoffs are coming up, teams are scrambling, but I don't know what, you know, we have records broken. We have a whole slew of stuff that's just totally come out and about from the league. Think of it. We're at this point of the year, and we already have two teams that are at 10 plus losses. These two head coaches who took over for these two teams, Dallas is one of them, and Utah is the other, are both winless as the interim head coaches. Doesn't bode too well. And, you know, now we're having this tiff now between AF2, former AF2, and AFL fans. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions. If you don't like the what somebody's reading, just go ahead and mention it. No need to boycott anything. We're all fans of the Arena Football League. And let's just take it for what it is. Either way, I'm Tim Capper. A lot of stuff. First thing we might as well go ahead and do is we'll get to the playoff picture. As we were about to go on vacation, take a couple weeks off, we had talked in particular about fan interference. Now, I did get an email from a Jacksonville fan, and I want to go ahead and point this out to everybody, at least mention it a little bit. I thought it was pretty cool. And I apologize for not getting to it earlier, but we weren't around, so we were on vacation. From Jonathan Sterling, and it was in particular to the Jacksonville Shark fan interference, and I know, we're going back here a couple of weeks, so just bear with me, especially this week. But he's a season ticket holder with the Sharks, sitting four rows down from the field, and he has seen all too often the BS from other fans around me with regards to interference. And it really started during the home opener with Orlando, and it hasn't stopped since. This is his thought. The major problem is that security has pretty much been overrun since the home opener. Started with, he was calling the kids, thought it would be cool to run under the slack nets in order to catch a ball. Since it's gotten better since the Arizona game, Tulsa started a tradition of fans trying to catch the kickoffs that were close to the bottom bar, led to numerous inadvertent touchbacks, etc., etc., etc. He agrees, and I didn't mention this a couple weeks ago when Adam and I, who by the way is on assignment this week, one of the games, I'm trying to remember, it was Coach Markham, it was Tampa Bay on the NFL Network, and I just loved it. It was blatant fan interference. Sure, you know, I have to go back and check the game. I'm trying to remember. Actually, I should check. We have all the games here in the AFL Tonight studio on DVD. And was it Tampa Bay, Alabama? I think it was Tampa Bay, Alabama, where there was fan interference. And Coach Markham, with the guy on tape, basically got into the ref's face. And Coach Markham, as we all know, knows this league inside and out. Complaining to the referee and saying, you know, it was a blatant touch. And the replay showed it just as that. It was a little bit iffy, but it was blatant to see. But Coach Markham said he should be ejected. Point blank. Him saying what he did, Coach Markham was 100% correct. There have been interceptions, there's been interference this year where it turned it on a dime. These games have turned. Tampa Bay was one of them. And always seeing, you know, it's happening most like more, it's more prominent as we're seeing in Jacksonville. But I just wanted to just wanted to point it, at least get to the bottom. As I've had this email for a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to point this out. I want to thank Jonathan for emailing us. Anything you want to contact us about, you can do so. Remember, we talked about memorabilia a couple of weeks ago also. We talk about how in particular you might feel between the AFL and former AF2. You can contact us here at AFL Tonight also. You know how. I'll mention it to you anyways. Twitter account, twitter.com/arenafan. Facebook account, facebook.com/arenafan. And you can contact me personally, as Jonathan did, at tim.capper@arenafan.com. Before we came on, did notice along the transaction wire that Law Dog, I'm sure all you Tampa Bay Storm fans are going to be very happy about this, even though they are tops in the coaches poll, are one of the multitude of polls that we have here in the AFL. Way too many polls. What is this? This is not the BCS, and it doesn't really have any difference. Yes, it's a carryover. I like it. It's one of the carryovers, I think, from the AF2 that I do like. I love the coaches poll. I really do like the coaches poll. But Lawrence Samuels is back off the IR. All I can say is watch out, Damien Harrell. You may be caught. No, don't think so. Remember, Damien Harrell is now one of the king, who is more than has the trifecta of career stats to back himself up, with Lawrence being number two in many of those statistics. Speaking of statistics, etc., etc., records broken, we have had a slew of them this year, and one of them happens to be Rod Woodson. Yeah, you thought I was going to say somebody else, didn't you? Rod Woodson was a player for the Steelers. I have it ringing in my ear from our guys in the booth. Yes, I understand. Rod Windsor. This past week, caught his 166th. reception. It ties the all-time single-season record held by Sia Burley. What's funny is that Rod is also just about 200 yards receiving from passing the single-season receiving yards record, which is also held by Sia Burley. So 166 receptions. He is on an absolute tear, and the way that Rod is playing in Arizona, and the way that that team is going, Nick DeVia and whatnot, he should easily, and watch me jinx him, easily have this record by next week. Should, if he doesn't, don't blame me. Also, Aaron Garcia. Could we call him Dan Marino of the AFL? All these records and not a single championship to sit on his mantle, ring on his finger, etc. One record he actually did break is he did two weeks ago, weekend of July 4th, he broke the all-time career passing yards record, surpassing Clint Dozell. And a funny tidbit about Clint Dozell, I'll mention it in a couple of seconds here. Also, and it's the way that the Jacksonville tweeted this when this occurred, get it right or expand it more. Don't necessarily make us go to your Facebook page. I understand that social networking is the be-all, end-all right now to getting information out there, and we do it here at Arena Fan too. Why wouldn't we have those two, Facebook and Twitter, pages and accounts? But Garcia tops the 1,000 touchdown mark. It's not the coveted, I would say coveted, touchdown passing mark, but total touchdowns. God, can we say scored? He is career TDs. There we go. 100 career TDs. So passing more than 950, and then it's rushing touchdowns. He's now over, so he's a thousand touchdown man. But I want to see him break. He's going to have to play next year in order to break the 1,000 touchdown passing touchdown mark. And I want to see him do it. I'd also like to see him. You know, Jacksonville's in a very good position to make the Arena Bowl. There are some tough teams ahead of them, but it's very possible that Aaron could be playing for his first ring, which would be nice to see. I think. Don't you? Yes. Yes, I do. What else? We were talking about it in particular, you know, passing Clint Dozell. Something came across via the Twitterverse today, and if you haven't seen it, you can do so by going to the Twitter account of, I think it's TB Storm Radio. And JD heard that supposedly Clint Dozell was in line to coming back to the AFL. You know, he spent the last year in the IFL as head coach in Texas, if I remember correctly. I don't know the other alphabet leagues all that well. But rumor was that he may have been signed to play for an AFL team, or just signed to be a coach of the AFL team. But according to JD in his tweet, he was, here it is, let's see, no, that's from the other day. You know, you guys are really supposed to bookmark this for me, or at least put this on a Word document. You know that, right? From a league source, during a conference call, the AFL ruled that Clint Dozell cannot play this season, although he can coach. You know, us being the responsible media outlet that we are here at Arena Fan, tweeted the question, any particular reason why he can't play? I basically thought that if he was a player was a free agent, he was fair game. Came back with saying that he wasn't sure. He heard that another team had pursued him earlier in the season and was told that he could not play. So it is not fair to let him play now. He signed a deal to play with an AFL team this week, so it was next. Is a team that hard up? Dallas, Utah. For somebody to come in, I think it's possible that it may have been Dallas. I would not have been a surprise whatsoever. Not necessarily to put some more butts in the seat. But it looks like he is going to be back real soon, and he is going to be a coach in the AFL. I would not be surprised if it is Dallas. Would not be surprised at all. You know, the Vigilantes are not doing that well this year. At all, as we know. So I'm sure it would be a boost. I don't know what he could do in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure they could play spoiler. But I don't know. Could be, you know. What do you think? What do you guys think? I mean, is it... I guess the league felt that he should not play. But then, as I mentioned before, to me, it's totally going against the rule of being a total free agent. You know, if somebody goes down, quarterback leaves, there is a player pool, I would think that he would be part of the player pool. Who's to say that he wouldn't be able to play as a quarterback? My only thought would be, as the league is structured now, remember, if you have stated that your three particular players are, or whatever it is, two particular players are your marketing players, being paid $1,000 a game, then you can't assign that to anybody else. If it's holding true, we don't know. Don't know the real specifics behind the marketing player. No rule book this year. I like CFL, by the way. Sorry, I just happened to mention I like CFL, who released their full 2010 rule book to everybody electronically. Everybody. Anyways. And there's no media guide this year. I guess no official media guide this year. So it just, I guess the league had to have thought, for some reason, not to let him play, even though I'm sure it would have been I'm sure it would have helped the team out, but I don't know. Who's to say? But either way, congratulations to Rod Windsor and to Aaron Garcia. Both these two teams are in the thick of the playoffs, which I said we'll mention that, get to that in a little bit. Week 13. I know we have gone about this infinitum. How bad the stats program is here in 2010. I'm sure Commissioner Kurz would say that not openly, that it wasn't. It was a bad idea, and they should have gone with the other one. As we're all noticing now, that they really, really should have done this. Week 13, Jacksonville, Arizona. It was basically a incomplete scorebook. Week 14, it was an incomplete scorebook. Week 15, it was an incomplete scorebook. Do you see the pattern that I'm getting at here? Hardly finished. And this is usually Arizona is able to have their information about on their website and scoring within 24 hours. And that's from personal experience that I know this, and from speaking with them also. Yet, us at Arena Fan, we try to get this information to finish up, not only to give you the information, the fans, fantasy, all the games that we have here, etc., etc. And it's tough. We could not get it from Jacksonville. We're able to, get partial scoring. I noticed that there is not the game official game book itself, but the box score was available. So I think we pulled the information from there, but we're still waiting to get a full score book to update it properly. Remember, we have complete career statistics on the site. We want it to be complete career statistics. It should not take 3 weeks. It's an embarrassment. Don't follow the other alphabet league, so I can't tell you if that's a curve, but I do know that they've had the same problem. We've got to go back to the other program next year. Please, Commissioner Kurz, if I stop talking about this, we at least mention that you will be getting it. Please mention that you're going to be getting it for next year. Wait to Arena Bowl. I don't care. Do something. You know it's bad if the NFL Network does not go by these stats. How is it when you cannot, as a radio guy, you cannot look at the correct stats? So, I will drop this as I'm talking about it, and we will let it go from there. Okay? Please, please, please. Let's let it drop. All right. Emails. You know, we are, you know, coming to the end of the regular season, and I noticed last week that the Jacksonville Sharks have already revealed their 2011 season ticket pricing. That's right, Shark fans. You can easily get your front row tickets for a ton, or however much they are. The Jacksonville Sharks have proudly announced season tickets for the 2011 season are now available. Ticket packages are starting at $45. Will include nine games. All nine games for the 2011 season. Nine games. Playoffs, maybe? And a free commemorative football for all those who purchase or renew their season tickets by April 31st. See? Easy? Early bird? Go for it with the way Jacksonville's playing right now. A fourth in attendance. Trying to see what they have here. They have 4,500 season tickets for 2010, and they expect to be over 7,500. I guess that's their goal. And it looks like it's going to be status quo for the prices for 2011. Let's see what else there is here. Discounts. They have the Shark card. Oh, they even do it so you don't have to pay it all at once. So you can do easy payment plans. That's nice. I like that. So, kudos. You know, I know the front row seats in Jacksonville seem to be a little bit expensive, but look at how, you know, they're announcing it now. Then I think that the team is pretty confident that they're going to be able to pull in more people and whatnot. So congrats to them. Yes, we have a playoff picture. We do. I promise you. If I can find it, I'll talk about it. As of week 15. There are 8 certains. You're saying, what? Yes, there are 8 certains. Teams that are already clinched. Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. Spokane, Chicago. Out! Dallas and Bossier, Shreveport. Utah and Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's only bounced because I think they're 6-8. But Utah and Dallas, you know, self-explanatory. On the bubble. This is for, here we go. Milwaukee. If the Iron win one more and the Barnstormers lose one more, Milwaukee clinches a playoff spot. If the Rattlers win, Arizona wins one more and the Barnstormers lose one more, so Arizona will clinch a playoff spot. With an Arizona and Milwaukee win accompanied by an Iowa loss, the 4 playoff teams from the National Conference will be set. Seeding will not be locked in. So, Iowa is really on the bubble on this one. Tulsa wins one more and OKC loses. Tulsa will clinch their division. Is that it? Is that all they... I want to know what the scenario is for the other division. For the other conference. But they're not listed here. So, conference standings right now are as follows. Through week 15. Tampa Bay has clinched number 1 seed, Tulsa 2, Jacksonville 3rd, even though they are 9-4, better record than Tulsa, but Tampa Bay leads the division. Orlando is currently at 6-7. At 5-6 is Oklahoma City and Alabama, both at 6-7. So it's Orlando, OKC, and Alabama fighting it out for the last playoff spot. And, by the way, Orlando is ahead of Oklahoma City and Alabama based on best win-loss percentage of head-to-head matchups among the 3 teams. three-way tiebreaker, tiebreaker number one. By the way, we do have these listed. The tiebreakers, if I'm not mistaken, are now listed currently on the Arena Fan. And they are located, I think it's under the News tab. Maybe not. No, it's not. I know it's here somewhere. I know we have it here. Under History, Playoff Rules. So if you're curious to see all the tie-breaking formulas, you can go ahead and go there. The National Division, or National Conference, rather. Spokane is clinched. The division, Chicago has clinched a playoff berth, 1-2. Arizona is third. Milwaukee is fourth at 8-5. Wasn't Milwaukee 5-0 at one point? Iowa is severely on the bubble. Iowa is 6-7, and as we mentioned before, the National Conference could have its four teams already locked up by week's end. So, actually, it's on their way. If everything's not complete, too, I do know that there is a press release that has been put up specifically by the league. And you can head there. I think it's on their front page, and it says playoff scenarios or 2010 playoffs. So, what else? What else is there? I know we have great games. I know the NFL Network has been, you know, despite the really horrible games, I know there's been a few flex scheduling, etc., for the league. I will applaud them for everything that they've done this year. I'm curious on what they can do for next season, though. What can they bring to the table that they haven't already? I think, you know, them bringing in the Rules 101 for the halftime is fantastic. I don't know what else they could do. You know, people have talked about doing a pregame show or a weekly show with highlights. I don't know if anybody's gonna watch that. Except for us, the AFL fans who happen to miss something. But then there's all the games on Nifty. If you haven't missed something, you can always do that. They could easily do that on Nifty too. Pre-game show, not necessary. I really do not think it's necessary. Besides, you do have their staple of NFL Total Access. Only being pushed back from what I'm seeing because of the new CFL contract that's on the NFL Network. It's not necessary. But what could they do to? Is there anything that they could do to improve? Yes, I think they need to. Color commentating has been a little sketchy from game to game, but it's been fine. Let's bring in Ari Wolf as a full time, a color commentator instead of a sideline. Might work. When Jaws was a color commentator, when they had the announcement for the new three expansion teams, or re-expansion teams, or rebirth teams, whatever, he did a great job too. So, what do you think? Anything in particular that you think that the league could do? NFL Network could tell the NFL Network to do? Do something! Anything could help. What else? Games this week. Interesting games. As I said, a lot is on the line. Spokane, Iowa is the NFL Network game this week. Looking at, even though it is Iowa, I know Iowa is fighting for their lives. Spokane, though, they are the class of the league this year, at least at the moment. I do not see Spokane losing this game. Same thing with the second game on the docket is Arizona-Utah. Yes, Arizona just needs to get off the snide and win a game. Don't even know if that's going to happen by the time that them and Dallas meet. I think that's in weeks. That's next week. Oklahoma City, Cleveland. Oklahoma City has a lot to play for. Cleveland they've been bitten, really. I mean, they had two fantastic games in a row, both going into overtime, just happened to go 1-1. Cleveland at home, I could see them pulling this off. I really can. John Dutton has improved quite a bit. It's just that their defense, I would possibly give Cleveland a slight, slight nod over this one. Tampa Bay Jacksonville, the game of Saturday, and probably the game of the week. Too bad it could not have been pushed. I know there have been too many Southern Division teams already on NFL Network. But if you can, watch this one locally. Watch this one on Nifty. Tampa Bay Jacksonville possibly could be for the division. Orlando Milwaukee. Orlando is, you know, Milwaukee needs this win. They really do. Orlando, same thing. So you got two teams that are basically fighting for their playoff lives, so to speak. I'd probably have to give the nod on this one to Milwaukee. And by the way, I've not made my official picks yet, so if you are keeping track with the 8-ball versus human picks this year, head over to see what my official picks are for the week by heading over to the message boards. Dallas-Chicago. Chicago. Chicago is at home. Dallas, maybe if it had been true that Clint Ozell was going to play for the Vigilantes, that they may have had a chance, but no. And then last but not least, Tulsa. Alabama. Tulsa. I say Tulsa. I know that the Chicago game before, I know they've had another wide receiver put on the IR in Travis Latrondes. And it's hurting me, too, because I had him on my fantasy team, and fantasy, free agency has closed for the season, so I'm basically SOL. I'm sure you know what that means. But Tulsa, Alabama, I'm going to give the nod on this one, at least for the moment, I think, to Tulsa. Alabama is a tough place to play, with a smaller arena and whatnot, but I do think... I do think it's going to be tough. Yeah, I'm going to give a nod to Tulsa on this one. What else? What else is there? I know it's hard to, I'm reverting back to how you did the show back in 2008. Sometimes it is nice to have a co-host. And, by the way, and this doesn't always happen, but if you are interested in possibly filling in the weeks that maybe I'm not available or that JP is not available, shoot me over an email, and we'll see if there's something that we'll be able to set up for. I mean, you've heard the other people on the other co-hosts from across the league on the AFL Roundtable. Why can you not guest host on AFL Tonight? I need a Skype and the internet's connection. That's all. Saw people. What else is there? We're talking about it before. How do you guys feel about it? Check out the Adam Markowitz's column, that is on the front page of Arena Fan. He voices his displeasure on the league this year. It's riled some nerves, and as I said before, that we here are, we are all one group. We're all one set of fans. And that's what we need to keep in mind, okay? Because if we fight each other on this, then what's the point? You know what I mean? So, we're all Arena Football fans. Keep it together. Just keep an open mind with this stuff. A lot of the stuff that was brought over, a lot of the AF2 not necessarily rules, regulations, but format. A lot of the AF2 formats were brought over to the current AFL. And maybe it's just getting some of the AFLers to get used to it, but I'm trying to keep an open mind about this. So, either way, hopefully next week JP will be returning. I do plan on trying to have a AFL roundtable near the end of the month. If you have any questions, you know how to get in touch with us here at AFL Tonight. So for everybody here, I do want to thank you for joining us in this short abbreviated version, but just wanted to at least get you guys something out, because, you know, like Madonna's saying, it wasn't a holiday. By the way, anybody happen to know the name of that song that was at the very beginning of the show? It happens to be a part of what we're talking about here, holidays. Yeah. Either way, for everybody here at AFL Tonight, I am Tim Capper. We will see you next week. Watch the rebound off the Nets.